This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to another episode of Echoes of Dissent, a weekly podcast that explores the events, the movements, the beliefs and the personalities. In short, the why a song of protest, a song of dissent was written and sung, and who created it. We look at its impact at the time and its relevance to today.
My name is Frank Carter.
2 weeks ago, we entered the world of the burqa ban. No education for women over year six. No freedom of movement outside a home. Last week, it was Votes for Women, we thought was in our DNA, but we saw some pushback and voter suppression in the USA. This week, we look at assaults on our thinking, our expressed opinions and our views. We look at the mob violence of cancel culture and groupthink and the right to change your mind. Yes, certainly, mob violence, because it is caused by mobs and the violence is to one's reputation, livelihood and character. And the mob just moves on. The mob is unaccountable. So let's frame this episode around a quote from Robert Frost, an American writer. Education is the ability to listen almost anything without losing your temper or your self-confidence. I like that a little bit, actually. The ability to listen to almost anything without losing your temper or your self-confidence. And before we go further, we are not talking about accepting hate speech, discrimination, personal attacks on religion, ethnicity, gender preference, race, disability or abilities or physical attributes. Such are never acceptable. And so to cancel culture. The destruction of a reputation and livelihood and self-confidence because the group does not like something that somebody has said. And we go to Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift was cancelled in 2016 because Kim Kardashian released a heavily edited phone call between Taylor Swift and Kanye West that made it appear that Taylor Swift was a liar. This was a track that Taylor Swift recorded in 2025.
You thought that it would be okay at first. The situation could be saved, of course. But they'd already picked out your grave and hers. Beware the wrath of masked crusaders. Did your girl boss too close to the sun? Did they catch you having far too much fun? Come with me, when they see us, they'll run. Something wicked this way comes. Good thing I like my friends canceled.
Like my whiskey
matching scar.
Recorded in 2025, it's a response to the public, the mass mob cancellation, because people thought she had lied. So during that, in 2016, Taylor Swift retreated from the public eye, moved to a foreign country, left her rental house for a year, and pushed away most people in her life because she couldn't trust anyone. In 2020, the full unedited 25-minute version of the phone call was leaked online, and Taylor Swift was vindicated after 4 years of digital mob violence. As we prepare this program, we understand that Taylor Swift is preparing to marry this weekend, Madison Square Garden, and married to Travis Kelce, an NFL star. We also understand she is at the top of the music industry's financial ladder. Taylor Swift has come back because the truth came out. Her subsequent album in 2016, Reputation, became a dark anthem about being burned at the stake by public opinion. And this was a classic example of a mass mob deciding, based on incomplete proof, in huge inverted commas, that a person was guilty. There was no trial, no right of reply, just judgment. And the twist was, of course, the full unedited phone call was leaked 4 years later, and it proved that she had been telling the truth all along. The group, the mass mob, had been wrong. But of course, the mob just moved on. Taylor Swift was fortunate, and she had the skills and the contacts to pick up the pieces. Many victims are not. They remain devastated, lives destroyed, and the mob just moves on to the next victim. Taylor Swift is a celebrity, and we see celebrities cancelled. But for most of us, the pressure to conform isn't about millions of followers. It's about the fear of being the one who disagrees. And so here we have a couple of verses from Cancel Courage by a group called Mother May I, a small band from Burnley, Northwest England. Is there any left these days with courage? Don't backtrack and be careful with your view. Is there anybody left, I say, with courage? Cancel Courage is by Mother May I, a post-punk band from Burnley, Northwest United Kingdom. Their style, as you can tell, is characterised by a blend of rock, indie and poetry, often featuring a dramatic delivery and a driving mix of guitar and drums. What we heard is fairly typical of Mother May I. Is there any left these days with courage? Don't backtrack and be careful with your view. Is there anybody left, I say, with courage? Don't backtrack and be careful with your view. And if you don't be careful, they'll come after you. If you don't be careful, they'll cancel me as well as you. Cancel Courage by Mother May. A warning. This is expressing the fear of speaking out and warning that if you do. And that's where it comes to you and I. Certainly experience that I've had and that many, many of us would have had too. In the meeting at work, at church, the social club, on Facebook or Instagram friend group, do you have to be careful with your view? Does it need courage to speak out, to ask the question, to disagree? Yes, we are looking at groupthink. The backlash to one who does not conform is the close relative of the global cancel culture. It's what can happen when everyone seems to agree, but you're not sure. It's when you feel you're in a meeting. It's when you feel the halo, and in huge inverted commas, the halo of silence, where there's a controversial proposal is made, and instead of debate, there is a lot of uncomfortable pause. People look around the table to read the room before speaking, and then quietly smile and nod their head and move on. It happens, groupthink is happening when you see self-censorship, when you notice colleagues hesitate, start to speak and then stop, or they voice agreement but their body language, crossed arms, furrowed brows, not really looking at anybody, says the opposite. And when the mind guard appears, often a senior leader or an overly enthusiastic team member who proactively shuts down doubts by saying things like, oh, we're all on the same page, right? Happy and cheerful. Or let's not go back over old ground, let's move forward. Something wicked this way comes. Because here we have a classic example of these halo effects, the mind guard and the fear of speaking up. Some 40 years ago, a real event was broadcast worldwide. Parents, schools, a teacher's class were watching as seven astronauts plunged to their deaths into the sea shortly after takeoff because the leaders of the project didn't listen because of groupthink. The Challenger space shuttle disaster. The night before the launch, engineers from Morton Thirkel, the people who created, who built the machine, the rocket, raised serious concerns. The O-rings, that's the smallest part, the cheapest part, basically. Critical seals, but critical seals that keep the rocket boosters from leaking, were never designed to operate below 54 degrees Fahrenheit. The temperature on launch morning was below freezing. Roger Burst Jolly and his fellow engineers warned NASA that the launch could result in a catastrophe of the highest order, loss of human life. But they were ignored. They were persuaded and pressured to back off, basically. NASA management wanted to launch. They were under pressure to perform. It's political pressure. The pressure to conform, the fear of being the one who says no. Groupthink overrode the facts. The Challenger exploded 73 seconds later, killing all seven astronauts on board, including Krista McAuliffe, a teacher whose class was watching, who was supposed to be the first civilian in space. But not only was the class watching, her parents were also close to the launch pad in the viewing section. Burst Jolly and his colleague, Alan McDonald, were treated as lepers, blackballed from the space industry for speaking up. But they were right. But being right didn't protect them. The group had already decided. Cancel culture meets groupthink. But what can you do about it? You're in a room of colleagues, friends, workmates, people you've known for a long time, people you have to live with, people you have to work with, people you socialize with. Well, this is not the place to go through the kind of stuff. There are diplomatic tactics. This is not a lecture of those tactics. So if you know you're going to have a tricky meeting, please check out ChatGPT or DeepSeek or Anthropic or whichever AI you choose. Choose 2 to 3 to get varying options and advice. But there are a couple of don'ts which I have been guilty of and have the scars to prove it. First of all, you don't say, you're wrong, that's a bad idea. Because that immediately puts people on a defensive. And if people are on defensive, they're forced to defend their idea or their concept. They're not looking at compromising. You don't call out people's silence. You know, there's this proposal goes on and nobody says anything. You don't say, oh, you know, why is everybody quiet? Why isn't anybody speaking up? Because that looks like you're a stirrer. You don't repeat what you're saying. You know, you say your piece and the group says, okay, thanks very much, Frank. You know, thank you. We're listening to what you're saying. Let's move on. You let them move on. And you don't say, this is groupthink, because probably nobody likes to be part of a groupthink culture. One thing very important is you do show respect by not challenging people. You can ask them questions, and that's very difficult. So here's the other side. Last year, we had a particular opinion. 5 years ago, we had a specific opinion. Yesterday, in the discussion, we had a specific opinion, but now we've thought about it, and we've changed our minds. And you thought, well, yeah, well, maybe I didn't have it right first time. But the issue is, in today's world, changing your mind might be the most dangerous thing you can do. In theory, we celebrate growth, but in practice, we punish it. Once you've taken a public position, the group expects you to defend it to the death. To reconsider it is seen as weak, inconsistent, or worst of all, a traitor to your cause. And we can think about J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series. Love her or hate her, she has spoken at length about her views on gender have been shaped by personal experience. Whether you agree with her conclusions or not, she has described feeling that she is not allowed to change her mind publicly without being destroyed. That fear of being unable to evolve, of reconsidering, of saying, I was wrong, but I see it differently now, is paralyzing. It locks us into positions we may have outgrown. How many times do we see someone's quote from a year ago, from years ago, brought back to destroy them? That process, the willingness to be challenged, to listen, to say, I see it differently now, is not weakness. It is the very definition of intellectual courage. It requires more strength to change your mind than to defend a position. It requires the humility to admit you are wrong, or at least incomplete. Here we have another part, another section from Taylor Swift.
You thought that it would be okay at first. The situation could be saved, of course. But they'd already picked out your grave and hers. Beware the wrath of masked crusaders. Did your girl boss too close to the sun? Did they catch you having far too much fun? Come with me, when they see us, they'll run. Something wicked this way comes.
You thought that it would be okay to cancel me out, but it wasn't. J.K. Rowling was cancelled because of her changing views. She felt it was difficult, impossible to change her opinion because now she saw something differently. She was locked into a position. The willingness to be challenged, to listen, to say, I see it differently now, is not a weakness. It's the very definition of intellectual courage. It requires more strength to change your mind than to defend a position you've outgrown. It requires the humility to admit you are wrong, or at least incomplete. The J.K. Rowling cancelling has a New Zealand context. In July 2023, a group of senior museum managers decided not to proceed with the travelling exhibition called Fantastic Beasts, The Wonder of Nature, which linked creatures from the Harry Potter universe with real animals and natural history. It had been developed by the Natural History Museum in London and had already toured successfully in Australia and Canada. The decision created criticism from some who viewed it as an example of cancel culture, while others praised the museum for prioritising inclusion and staff concerns. Perhaps here it is we revisit Robert Frost's comment, education is the ability to listen to almost anything without losing your temper or your self-confidence. J.K. Rowling's viewpoint, opinion, agree with or not, was used to cancel an exhibition that many were looking forward to, that many had viewed across the world. I'll let that sit with you. It's a tough one. Education is the ability to listen to almost anything without losing your temper or your self-confidence. The next section from Taylor Swift.
They're the ones with matching scars. It's easy to love you when you're popular. The optics click, everyone prospers. But one single drop, you're off the roster. Tone deaf and hot, let's off her. Did you make a joke only a man could? Were you just too smug for your own good? Or bring a tiny violin to a knife fight? Maybe that all ends tonight.
Now that they've broken you like they've broken me, but a shattered glass is a lot more sharp. And now you know exactly who your friends are. Did your girl boss too close to the sun? Did they catch you having far too much fun? Come with me, when they see us, they'll run. Something wicked this way comes. And then, of course, she talks about friends that have also been cancelled. Good thing I like my friends cancelled. I let them cloaked in Gucci and in scandal. I like my whiskey sour. So here's the rebellion and poison thorny flowers. Welcome to my underworld where it gets dark. At least you know exactly who your friends are. They're the ones with matching scars. Now, let's be honest about something uncomfortable. Cancel culture global, or the local social club, workplace small group equivalent, at its worst, bears a disturbing resemblance to mob violence. A mob doesn't wait for evidence. A mob acts on rumour and outrage. A mob doesn't offer the accused a right to speak, a right to defend themselves, or a right to appeal. A mob decides guilt and punishment in the same breath. It bypasses every guardrail of natural justice. The presumption of innocence, the right to be heard, the right to face your accuser, the right to a fair hearing. Cancel culture and the groupthink equivalent of outing the dissenter from a group violates this right. It judges without hearing, it punishes without evidence, it assumes guilt and demands confession. And when the mob is wrong, as it so often is, there is no appeal. The damage is done. Reputations are destroyed. careers are ended and the mob moves on to the next target, never looking back. Next extract from Cancel Courage.
Don't backtrack and rephrase. Be careful with your view. And if you don't be careful, they'll come after you. And if you don't be careful, they'll cancel me as well. Don't upset the news. The world is made for you, my love. Oh, don't listen to the news.
And if you don't be careful, they'll come after you. And if you don't be careful, they'll cancel me as well. Oh no, don't upset the news. And so we moved on. And don't upset the news. The world's not made for you, my love. Right wing and left wing. Doesn't matter which side it's on, the opinion is on. The world is tainted to you. So closer to home. In July 2021, a group of seven academics, now known as the Listener Seven, published a letter questioning whether Motolo Mari should be placed on an equal footing with science in the school curriculum. Whether you agree with their opinion or not, this is not the issue at the moment. Agreement with their opinion at the issue is not the issue. They argued that science is universal, that placing the indigenous knowledge on the same level would patronise and fail those indigenous populations. Those who recall this incident will recall that the letter sparked a firestorm. It was condemned by over 2,000 academics and public figures. Some accused the Seven of racism and intimidating junior colleagues. The University of Auckland Vice-Chancellor issued a statement saying the letter had caused considerably hurt and dismay. The Royal Society, Te Aparangi, condemned the Listener Seven's narrow and outmoded definition of science. And the Royal Society, the country's peak scientific institution, opened a formal disciplinary investigation into two of its own fellows for what they had written in the magazine. Now, here is a detail worth holding on to. One of the two fellows under investigation was Professor Garth Cooper. Professor Cooper is of Ngāti Mahanga descent. He has spent 30 years promoting Māori participation in science and improving Māori health outcome. His specific objection to the NZCEA proposal was not that Māori knowledge was worthless. It was the precise opposite. But the group had only read a part of the letter and it had not considered it. Whether you agree with the Listener Seven or not, we have to ask ourselves, what did it say about the university culture, the academic culture, our culture, when an academic disagreement becomes a reason for public condemnation, when a debate is shut down before it can begin, when a university says, we want dialogue, but not debate. The Listener Seven were not engaged in hate speech. They were expressing an opinion about the curriculum, and yet they were treated by many as beyond the pale. Groupthink by the 2000. Cancel culture by the 2000. And then consider what happened just last month, June 2026. Such a similar situation. The Journal of New Zealand College of Clinical Psychologists removed a peer-reviewed article that had been published in 2025. The article, written by a Māori clinical psychologist named Anna Mitchell, questioned claims that psychology is a tool of white power and that science itself is a social construct of white Europeans. The author argued that tribal ways of knowing should not be given equal weight to scientific ways of knowing in the training and practice of psychologists in New Zealand. Now, we're not arguing here the right or wrong of that opinion. We're not discussing the actual opinion. What we're discussing is the right to for people to have an opinion and express opinion and not be cancelled out because of that opinion. The right of other people to address that opinion, to discuss it, and also the rights of people to change their minds. The article was removed from the journal. This is the only journal of its kind in New Zealand. It was not removed for fraud, plagiarism, ethical misconduct, or factual error. It was removed, according to the College Council, because it was inconsistent with the values of the college and could perpetuate harm to Māori. Here is the irony. A Māori scholar's published work was removed to protect Māori. The Free Speech Union asked, when a published Māori author is removed from the record to protect Māori, it is fair to ask whose voices are being amplified and whose are being excluded. When we create a culture where academics must ask themselves not, is this true, but is this acceptable? And that is the death of scholarship. But not only academics, when we create a culture where, in a meeting, we must ask ourselves, is this true? Is my opinion true? So when you find yourself in a meeting, that classroom, that group chat, and you disagree, speak up. But also when someone challenges you, listen. Not to win an argument, but to understand. Not to defend your position, but to test it. And if you find that you were wrong, or you feel that you could be, maybe think it from a different perspective, be brave enough to say so. Because the real enemy isn't disagreement. The real enemy is the silence that comes from fear. The fear of being silenced, the fear of being cancelled, the fear of being rejected, the fear of being seen as weak for changing your mind. The real enemy is a culture that values conformity over truth and comfort over courage. The freedom to think for yourself begins with the courage to speak, but it endures with the humility to listen and the grace to allow others and yourself the room to grow. Exploring the fear of speaking up, groupthink, the danger of mob judgment, cancel culture, the courage to change one's mind, and the leadership responsibility to create spaces where honest disagreement is valued. Thank you very much for listening. We look forward to being back with you again next week. And next week, it's civil rights. We will be looking at the progress of civil rights throughout the last couple of centuries and where it is going now. Not just in America, but across the globe. You can listen to this podcast again on freefm.org.nz or accessmedia.nz or your favourite go-to podcast platform. Thanks very much for being with us. Catch you next week. Bye.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.